just a moment, John 17. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. And I'm thrilled to know that there is churches still concerned about the next generation. And let me say this. I know a meeting like this, and there's money that has to be sacrificed. There's certainly time and labor that has to be given. And but we understand this. We know this. If we don't reach the next generation for Christ, not only is this church in trouble, our country is in trouble. And thank God for a young lady that'll make a speech about the Great Commission. Thank God for young people that'll get up here and sing in the boldness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to do everything we can to encourage another generation to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know this. We understand this. Every generation is different. My father, and he comes from a generation that they shine their shoes. I mean, everything is just right. There's not a hair out of place. And because he was in Vietnam when the hippies were out there spitting at soldiers and all that kind of thing. So he thinks, you know, in his mind, you shouldn't have facial hair and you should have everything just right. And I've never polished these shoes and they're scratched and they're scuffed. And every generation is different. But can I say this? That's okay. Because God will use a generation where they're at. Now we realize, we understand this. There's some things, especially in this day, that we have compromised to reach a generation. That is not right. That is not biblical. But just because the generation is different does not make them wrong. And I thank God that we have a church that has a burden and a vision to reach the next generation. So keep doing it. Keep sacrificing. And one day, if the Lord doesn't return, there will be another young man that stands behind this pulpit. There will be some young people sitting in that choir that are still faithful to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank God for this meeting. What I want to do this evening, and there's been so much preaching, and you can have Kenny Baldwin, and that's enough for about a week or two, and but we've had so much preaching, these young men that got up and preaching the power and the anointing of God, and we have all this now to just soak in like a sponge. So what I want to do just for these few moments, excuse me, this evening, I want to share a thought. And I'll just be a few moments this evening, not because the Super Bowl is on, because I could care less who wins this particular time. And I know last year that was a little different in some people's areas in this part of the country. But this year, nobody cares. And so we're not hurrying for the Super Bowl. But I just have a thought, and I believe this is where, preacher, God would have us end this particular meeting this year. John chapter number 17. Now, we spoke out of John yesterday, and we made this statement about the Gospel of John. It is a very simplistic book, but it is given in a very way that presents the deep truths of the Word of God. We're preparing to read the Lord Jesus Christ speaking and John writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. At this time in the ministry of John and the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many things that are being done that the world had not yet seen. Jesus had been working miracles. We spoke of it yesterday. Jesus had been doing things that humanity had never seen and never discovered. But all of a sudden, in John chapter number 17, in the midst of his ministry, he begins to speak to his Father. Now, watch John 17 and verse number 1. The Bible said, these words spake Jesus. I love this statement. And lifted up his eyes unto heaven. I began in the month of August in my personal Bible study. I began to study on the eyes of God. Now, we know this. You know this as a preacher, as a man of God. You know this as Sunday school teachers. What I hold in my hands is a living book. It is the Word of God. I began in Genesis, where we've seen the first mention of the eyes of God. It was in Genesis when God began to create the heavens and the earth. And we've seen the creative eyes of God. The Bible says in Genesis 1:10 that God saw the seas and God saw the waters. And then at the end of that chapter, in 6 days of creation, the Bible said that God saw that it was very good. That was the very first time that we see the mention of the eyes of God. And then if we had time this evening, we could go all the way to the book of Revelation. And there we will see the consuming eyes of God. It refers to the judgment of God. It refers to the abundance of the power power and the omnipotence of a holy God, and all in between from Genesis to Revelation. It seems like somewhere in every book, sometimes in every chapter, you will see the eyes of God. But now all of a sudden in the Gospel of John, in verse number 1, chapter number 17, we see the Lord Jesus Christ looking at the Father. And watch what happened when he began to look at the eyes of God. He lifted up his eyes to heaven, and look what he said. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son. Why? That thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is, what a definitive statement, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I love verse number 4. As Jesus is looking into the eyes of God, he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Tonight, just for these few moments, I basically want to preach the introduction of this message. Isn't it a strange thing? We find in verse number 1, that it is God speaking to God. It is God robed in the flesh talking to his Father. He began to pray, but the Bible said in verse number 1 that he lifted up his eyes to heaven. That simply means this: he did not bow his head. At this time, he was not looking to the earth, but he was looking to the eyes of God. I began to ponder and wonder in my mind. We understand if I pray, and if you pray, if we are physically capable and able, we should close our eyes and bow our heads. It is a sign of humility. It is a reminder that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not worthy to talk to a holy God. But isn't it wonderful to know that at Calvary, when Jesus bled and died, 3 days later, the Bible said that he got up from the grave and the stone was rolled away. But right in the midst of the resurrection, a great thing happened for the children of God. The Bible said that the temple veil was torn in twain. And now every child of God, now every man, every woman, every young person that's ever been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access to the Holy of Holies. We don't have to go through a man. We don't have to go through a priest, prophet, or king. But if you have been saved, if you have been to Calvary, you can call upon God anytime, any hour, any day. We can talk to the Father that is in heaven. When we begin to pray, many times we bow our heads. We were sitting at the table today. We were sitting at the Mexican restaurant, and I got my shrimp chimichanga, and it was wonderful. It was amazing. But before I got my chimichanga, we had some chips and we had some salsa. Well, before we prayed, my wife just started eating. I mean, she started dipping in the salsa. And I noticed the preacher looking at her kind of strange. So he said, let's stop and pray. Why? Because we ought to bless her food. We ought to bless the chips, praise God. We ought to ask God to help us in this journey. But isn't it wonderful to know that whether you're at your house, or whether you're sitting at the table, whether you're at a restaurant, or whether you're at the house of God, because of Calvary, we've got access to the throne of God. When there's a need in our life, when there's sickness in our body, thank God for the doctors, thank God for the medicine. But listen to me and listen well. The greatest thing that we have in our life, we can talk to the great physician. We can get to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and as a child speaking to their father, we can call upon a holy God. So when I pray, I bow my head in humility, because in myself, I'm not worthy to talk to God. But because of Calvary, we've got access to the throne of God. But that's not what the Bible said happened when Jesus prayed.
At this time, the Bible said that Jesus lifted up his eyes into heaven. You know why? He didn't have nothing to humble himself about. He had nothing to be ashamed of. He had nothing to bow his head into, because he was and is the King of Kings. It was God robed in the flesh, speaking to God that was sitting upon the throne. I can imagine as Jesus began to pray, the Bible said that he lifted up his eyes into heaven. Preacher, when I look up into heaven, I can see the sun. I can see the clouds when the sun fades in the west. I can see the moon and I can see the stars. But you know what Jesus did that day when he lifted up his eyes into heaven? He went past the sun. He went past the clouds. He went past the moon and the stars. His eyes busted the gates of pearl. It walked down a street of gold. It wasn't distracted by a wall of jasper. But when he began to pray, he looked directly into the eyes of a holy God. Wonder what he saw when he looked in the eyes of God. Number one, watch verse number one, just an expounding message. Watch what the Bible said. He saw purpose in the eyes of God. Verse number one, chapter number 17, the Bible said in our text, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. And look what he said as he's looking directly in the face of God. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son. Why? That thy son also may glorify thee. When Jesus looked past the sun and the clouds, the moon and the stars, and he looked directly into the eyes of God, he saw purpose in the eyes of God. Jesus said, Father, it's time. The hour is come. Do you understand? Yes, he came as a baby in a manger. Yes, he was born out of a virgin womb. But he didn't come to be a prophet. He didn't come to be a preacher. But he came to bleed and to die for the sins of the world. He came to be spit upon. He came for a cat of nine tails to be whipped across his back. And he did it for the purpose and the reason that all the world may know they too can go to heaven. They too can be saved. When Jesus looked into the eyes of God, he looked at the purpose. He looked at the reason that his only begotten son came to this world to die. Jesus looked into the eyes of God. He saw purpose. Father, the hour's come. It's time. I'm ready to die for the sins of the world. When he looked into the eyes of God, not only did he see purpose, but watch verse number two, he saw power in the eyes of God. The Bible says, as thou hast given him power. He is referring to the third person. He is talking about himself to the Father. As thou hast given him power over what? Over all flesh. Why? That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Can you imagine when Jesus lifted up his head and he looked past the sun, the cloud, the moon, and the stars, and he was looking into the eyes of the Father? He looked at an omnipotent God. Do you understand this evening? You can put every bomb in one room. You can put every military might in one house. You can put every country kingdom together. You can put every prophet. You can put every king. You can put every military leader in one particular space. But that is not a fraction of the power that my God has. That is not even close to the power that my God has. He is not the old man upstairs. He is not a weak and a feeble king. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't serve a dead God. I don't serve a religious leader. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of all lords. There's nothing my God cannot do. Thou hast given me power, Jesus said, that they might have eternal life. Somebody said, how do you know that you're going to heaven? Because it's not dependent upon me. Somebody said, how do you know you'll be with God for all eternity? Because it's not dependent upon my strength. But I am leaning on the power of God. I am trusting on the power of God. The same God that had enough power to speak this world into existence is the same God that you and I have depended on, that is counting on. We can trust him. We can put faith in him. There's nothing our God cannot do. When he looked into the eyes of God, he saw purpose. He saw power.
Number three, watch verse 3. When he looked into the eyes of God, he saw passion. The Bible said, and this is a definitive statement, life eternal. Why, Lord? They might know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus came to this earth. He was born out of a virgin womb. And for over 30 years, he lived a perfect and a sinless life. He was tempted in all ways as you and I are tempted, yet without sin. That is the greatest difference in God and humanity. He did not sin. He would not sin. And he could not sin. He was perfect. He was holy. He was pure. But as he began to minister, he changed the water into wine. He raised the dead. He made the blind to see. He caused the lame to walk again. But that's not why I came. That wasn't his purpose, though he was and though he is a miracle working God. But he came for this reason, that all the world may know there's not many gods. There's not some gods. There's only one God, and it's the God of the Bible. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Jesus said, I've fulfilled your purpose. I came that the world might know. I'm not Buddha. I am not the false prophet Muhammad. I am not a statue on a shelf. I want them to know after Calvary, they can beat me, they can spit upon me, but I'll never stay dead. I am the true God. I am the living God. There is no God like our God. He came. He had a passion that all the world may know. Can you imagine as Jesus looked into the eyes of God? Same passion. Jesus left to be a baby in a manger was the same passion that God had when he turned his back at Calvary on his only begotten son. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven. He saw purpose. He saw power. He saw passion. Watch verse number 4. He saw a plan in the eyes of God. This is an amazing thing. Jesus said as he is speaking, as he is praying to his Father, I have, that is past tense, I have glorified thee on the earth. Watch this. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That is a past tense phrase. But Lord, do you not understand? In the timeline of the Bible, Calvary has not yet taken place. The resurrection has not yet happened. The stone has not yet been rolled away. I have not yet ascended up into heaven. But when he looked into the eyes of God, it was already finished. It was already done. It was already complete. There was a plan that was set in motion. You do understand and you do realize when God had a creative process, when he spoke this world into existence, he did it that one day his son could come. He did it that one day his only begotten son could bleed and die for the sins of the world. We don't serve a God with no knowledge, but we serve a sovereign God. And I believe before he ever said, let there be light, and there was light, I believe God is so mighty and God is so big, he knew that one day his only begotten son would come. He knew that one day Calvary would take place, but he did it for you and he did it for me. There was a plan in the eyes of God. Can I say number 5? I'm done. Notice the pre-existence in the eyes of God. Verse 5, and now this day, this hour, oh Father, glorify thou me. Why? With thine own self, with the glory, watch this, which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus looked up past the sun. He looked past the clouds, the moon, and the stars. His eyes shot through a gate of pearl. He was not distracted by any of the attractions of heaven, but he looked directly into the eyes of his Father. And Jesus said, now it is time. Glorify thou me. With what, Lord? With the glory that was before the world was. God, we know this, created the heavens and the earth. He didn't sling out the Milky Ways and carve the hollers and stack the steels. He's mightier than that. He just spoke it. In 6 days, there was a world and there was a universe. But before he ever said a word, God knew.
before this world ever existed, God knew that not his only son, he has many sons, but that his only begotten son would one day come to the world that he created, and the humans that he created would beat him, would spit upon him, would take the palms of their hands and beat the thighs of his only begotten son. God knew the very world he created, the very tree that he created, would become a cross. And his only begotten son one day would bleed and die for the sins of the world. You say, God really doesn't love me. Have you lost your mind, sir? He created all of this knowing that his son would bleed and die. You say, but he really doesn't know that I exist. Man, do you understand how mighty and how big God is? He did all of this knowing that his only begotten son one day would bleed and die for the sins of the world. When I look up into the heavens, I can see the sun. I can see the clouds. When it fades in the west, I can see the stars. I can see the moon. When Jesus looked up into heaven, he went past the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he looked directly into the eyes of God. And he's seen a plan. He's seen a purpose. And he's seen the preexistence of a holy God. So here's the message. If God did all of that for us, what should we do for him? God had everything planned. If God had a purpose and a motive, if he did all of that for us, what should we do? Thank God for the talent that has been displayed in the last 2 or 3 days. Thank God for young people that are doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for young preachers that step behind this pulpit and preach with the power and the anointing of God. But let us remember, everything we are is because of him. The reason we exist, it's because of him. The reason I got up another day and there is breath left in my body is because of him. Amen. Young person, listen to me and listen well. You can use your talents in this world. You can become famous. You can become popular. You can become rich. You can have all the things that the world has. Tonight, they're preparing to play a ball game. They're preparing to take a little ball. And they have spent literally hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars for this ball game to exist. One team will win. One team will hold the trophy. And it'll change their life forever. They'll have the TV commercials. They'll get the promotions. They'll get all the interviews. And they'll never be the same. And then one day they'll die. And this night will mean nothing. But every young person that has sung and preached this weekend, it has affected eternity. Oh, the world may not know who you are tonight. The world may never know your name. You may never have $1 million or a mansion on a hill. But I promise you, what you have done in the house of God this weekend, it will impact eternity. You have made the face of God smile. You have changed the impact of eternity. It doesn't matter what the world is doing. It doesn't matter what they think they should be doing. You were created to serve a holy God. You were given breath in your body to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because before this world ever existed, God said, I'm going to create human beings knowing that his only begotten son would have to bleed and die for them. God loved you that much. He looked into the eyes of God. I want you to stand with every head bowed.